welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 24th of January, 2012. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends in Globe, listen to the show on KJAA AM 1240. If you're in Cochise County, it's easy to listen to our show on KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, along with the station's website, that's kvoi.com. And we have three venues for you that you can listen to this program anytime, anywhere. buckmastershow.com, one, tucsonsentinel.com, two, or the third choice, and it's not necessarily meaning it's the third choice, you just, of the three, TucsonCitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We launch the program of the Newsmaker interview with Jody Bain. Jody is chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. Then at 20 minutes past the hour, our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Half past the hour, we launch a new monthly segment here on the Buckmaster Show, and it's dealing with animal care. We all love our animals and pets. We will have a special segment devoted to that once a month. And we'll close out the show with Margaret Regan. Margaret is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly, and she has a bi-monthly arts segment here on the Buckmaster Show. We always encourage you to be part of the conversation. 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Facebook page. Well, the Rio Nuevo Board, which oversees the Rio Nuevo Multipurpose Facility District, is it getting a bad, unfair rap? That will be our leadoff question today on the Buckmaster Show. As we talk with Jody Bain, who is the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board, Ms. Bain joins us here in studio with me. Jody, how are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here to discuss the issues.
Well, we've seen the headlines, the Rio Nuevo legal bills piling up, those bills approaching $1 million. Let me ask you, Jody, is the public getting their money's worth with you and your colleagues on the board?
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword because we're all volunteers and we're all put here with a skill set, whether it's financial, real estate, legislative, development. But with regard to the cost of the legal bills, if you were to read the headline and not see behind the mirror, it's, wow, what is going on?
Yeah, after 18 months, nearly $1 million. Whoa.
Yeah, that actually is about 20 months, regardless what we're doing so that folks can see in the community what the costs are instead of making a headline of, wow, this is a lot of money, is to show by project what we came into, how much was spent, and when the months it was spent. So the first step was getting about, a couple hundred pages of invoices over to some of the media folks and then having it available to look through starting the end of this week. But we are going to start with some articles that come out that'll say how much was spent for the Fox or the Rialto or the Tucson Convention Center and the East Entrance. So people can put a number to what the issue is and understand what's happening. And then they can tell us if they want us to continue or not.
Now, could these legal bills be worse if you were not getting some kind of a break? I mean, if the billing was done at the regular legal fee of $300 to $500 an hour, give or take, it would be worse?
It would be much more expensive. Would it be worse? In my perspective, yes. We've been very, very fortunate with a lot of time written off. In the cover letters we wrote on some of the public records requests, it delineated the hundreds of hours that had been given over time at no charge.
Another misconception, I think from your point of view, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jody Bain, but a misconception is that nothing has really been accomplished when it comes to moving Rio Nuevo forward, and especially with the Tucson Convention Center.
Well, again, that's a couple of different questions. Moving forward really meant understanding how the legislative change for 2010 changed what the district could do. So it was about a year of both dealing with the hotel that didn't happen, as well as getting all the agreements fixed with the various partners we have to go forward. If somebody says, oh, you haven't done anything, well, you're not going to see a building and you're not going to see, you know, a hole in the ground being dug to produce something. But hopefully out of the mediation we're working on, we will get some land and some partnership and get something like that done, because now we're poised to be able to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the mediation. I don't know how much you can say about it other, well, the two sides really for the first time have the city council representatives and the board representatives have now sat down together. How has that been going, that process?
It started in December, and it's been moving into January. And I think the first part was establishing a level of trust so that folks know that we don't want to bankrupt the city, or the city doesn't want to ignore the district. And you've got a lot of bright people that can make it happen because they have the power to. They have to be told that they should on both sides and make a good deal and a good situation on a go-forward basis and not just ignore the issues, because we can do something together.
You were quoted in the Arizona Daily Star article as saying that the board, your board, inherited 10 years of what you called a troubled Rio Nuevo history with incomplete projects, non-performing development agreements, spotty files, and a shoddy trail of legal and financial documents. Was it a mess when the board took over?
It was difficult because we didn't walk into a room and were told, here are your files, go. It was more, here's the hotel, and push, because there was a time frame. So from March to October, early November of 2010, which was the good part of that year, it was hotel constantly. Other projects were at issue, but that was the main reason why we had meetings almost every week, if not multiple times a week.
Jody Bain is with us. You can ask Jody a question, 790-2040, 790-2040. Jody will be willing to take any questions concerning Rio Nuevo. What about the TCC? What can you say? It is certainly a building in need of work.
There are a lot of issues with the TCC. I think people need to remember that the district owns part of it, the Rio Nuevo district, and the city owns part of it. So there are two components to this puzzle. And I know that the district has put in well over $2 or $3 million in areas that it doesn't own, and that's okay, but sometimes it's forgotten in the political rhetoric that doesn't necessarily need to be caustic anymore.
What areas, can you be a little more specific about what areas you have put some money into that the district doesn't own?
Well, of course, people see the east entrance, which is something the district has, but there is a utility power chiller plant. I don't know if that's all one unit or if it's in pieces because it's multiple components. Some of it's underground. But that is a shared resource for the convention center and some of the area right immediately around it and elsewhere. And it was very important to make sure that that is available so that people have the utilities. You know, most of us take for granted you flip a switch and, you know, either water or the lights turn on.
What is the responsibility? How would you define your responsibility, and how do you define the city's responsibility when it comes to downtown development?
Well, this is
I think this really gets.
Right.
I think there's so much confusion among the public about really where the two entities come down.
Yeah, and I was going to say this is my personal opinion. I'm not making a statement, you know, that the board is saying, but we have a competing interest in some sense, because you want to make sure that what was created over the 10 years is preserved so that there is a base to move forward. And at the same time, it's this immense sense of, wow, downtown is really doing much, much, much better in vibrancy. You've got private sector that is chafing at the bit to have a public partner, both with the city, possibly with TRIO, Downtown Tucson Partnership, Rio Nuevo. And how do you make this work in a way that's going to be collaborative so people understand what they can do for a business or for a real estate developer?
But again, I think there is this confusion that the city, people don't understand the line. What's the line here between Rio Nuevo Board and the city?
I think that's one of the things that's going to be developed out of the mediation, because The district can offer the TIF money and other sources of financing and incentives, and the city has overlap as well as their own things that they can do. But because Rio Nuevo is in existence in a geographic boundary, there isn't a wait period before an incentive can apply.
Do you ever take it personally that some of the things that are said by some of the council people about the Rio Nuevo board, or how do you personally react to that?
You know, I think for me personally, I'm here for a purpose. I don't quite think I understood that when I got involved in this, but now it's more to make sure that there is the possibility that this can succeed in partnership. You know, we could go at it and do it alone, but it's going to be much bigger and more beneficial because the TCC, to fix some of the issues, it's not $2 million, it's not $3 million, it's many, many times that to get it to just an average baseline of where it could be. And then, of course, there's looking for maybe a corporate partner that can make something even more stellar.
But TCC is really at the top of the agenda, wouldn't you say?
The convention center, as well as immediately around it, so that it can be supported for what the people need it for.
You think we'll see some progress as far as the TCC during this calendar year of 2012?
I would think that you would at least see the planning of what is going to happen because the finance market takes time. But at the same time, if the city comes back with the TCC initiative program that Steve Kozacik had very valiantly attempted to initiate, that could be a really good start because we both want to see that thrive.
Remaining minute or so with Jody Bain, I know the Star editorialized they'd like to see a little more transparency from the board concerning some of the Wells Fargo accounts. Is that in the works?
Be careful what you wish for. There's going to be more information than I think people want. I was meeting yesterday with Tagline Media, who has done a fantastic job for us to create the database. So you can search for it in a way that makes sense and is intuitive.
So people will really find it hopefully very user-friendly if they want to get into the record keeping.
Yeah, first thing we're going to start just posting it all because the database takes time, but we're going to make sure that this and other contracts and documents are up there in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, Jody Bain, we'll look forward to talking to you again, getting an update on how things are going with the Rio Nuevo board. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Jody Bain with us on The Buckmaster Show. We are not finished as far as talking money because our Tuesday Moneymaker Report is next with Shelley Fishman. That's next.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Always look forward to this time on Tuesday afternoon to spend some time with Shelley Fishman. He is the guy that I recommend when anyone ever says, what about a certified financial planner? Do you know anybody who could possibly manage my money? And yes, I do. His name is Shelley Fishman. Shelley, good to see you.
Bill, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. And judging by what's going on, at least in the Wall Street Journal, apparently the traders on the street are complaining, Shelley. Things are too quiet.
You know, careful what you wish for. Let me take you back. Let's return 12 months.
Hey, we've had some volatility. Yeah. Isn't it kind of nice to have it?
Well, I think so. I mean, last year in January and February, the market took off. By the middle of February, I think it was, we had already gone up the 6% I had predicted for the year. We were joking about my staying home for the rest of the year because I'd already done my job. And of course, by the end of 2011, and I'm going to miss this statistic, but it's something bizarre, like we had more 2% days up or down in 2011 than like ever in recorded history.
Oh, wow.
Or something silly like that. So a little bit of calm, especially since that calm is pointing up and to the right for the last 3 weeks, sounds just about great to me.
Yeah, 13 straight days the Dow has moved 100 points or less, but still the direction has been what we like
positive,
to see.
Yeah. I mean, positive. We're up what? 4%, 5% for the year so far.
Want to talk a little bit about emerging markets. Investors hear that term, Shelley Fishman, and sometimes they're a bit confused with what are we talking about? What is considered an emerging market?
Okay.
Which country is emerging?
Well,
or countries?
The term used to be developing economies, but that was too vague, and so they decided that they would limit or actually create categories of what these developing economies were. And the one that kind of rose to the surface was what they call the BRIC economies. It was, you know, Russia, and it was China, and it was India, and Brazil. And those four are the ones that are always talked about as being the economies that have kind of risen above the fray, if you will, because they had been growing at more than 10% a year. And so that's the, you know, the top tier. There's a second tier, and it's companies like Turkey and South Africa and Israel and, you know, that are also growing faster than we think the already developed countries are growing, but not quite as fast as the so-called, top four or five emerging economies.
But they've been a good play traditionally, right?
Well, they had been a good play. There's been some caution.
Last year was a difficult year.
Last year was a very difficult year. These economies growing at 8 or 10 or 12% a year present tremendous opportunity for investors. The problem is there's always been fears of lack of political stability, lack of transparency, over-indebtedness, over-reliance on government. Those fears have kept especially American investors kind of at a distance from these economies. When we take a look at some of what we are seeing in these economies, however, now, we're seeing, for instance, that the amount of sovereign debt, the amount of personal debt, and the amount of corporate debt that exists in those economies is far less than what we're seeing in the so-called industrialized world or the developed economies. That instantly tells you that they're less risky, that there's higher degrees of savings among the populace, there's lower leverage among corporations, and there's lower debt to GDP in the governments. And they're still paying fairly high returns, certainly higher than the American debt or higher than European debt. So they're paying 6, 7, 8%, for instance, on sovereign the money that is lent by the central banks of these countries. And they're doing it with 18% debt ratios to GDP or 24%, where the developed world, the so-called developed world, is sitting there right around 100%.
So do you recommend some emerging market exposure?
I do. You got to be a little careful because almost any exposure you have to major U.S. Companies is going to give you some exposure to emerging markets because so many of our companies now are doing business with the emerging markets. But yes, I do. I think that's an area both on the equity side and on the debt side that is going to produce above market returns, if not this year, certainly over the next 5 years. I believe this year they'll improve as well.
So when does an emerging market like China, when do they become out of the emerging category?
God, what a great question. the theory has been that because China is now the second largest economy in the world, its ability to maintain 8 or 10% growth gets limited. The thing is, when you take a look at China on a per capita income basis, they're down like the 94th in the world. So there's plenty of room for growth. And the short answer to your question is nobody quite knows the answer to that.
So the emerging market is something that every investor really should take a good look at.
Absolutely.
And not only on the equities and the stocks, but the bonds as well?
Right, right. The debt, both of the corporations in those countries and also the debt that's issued by the countries. Let me give you just a statistic that blew my mind and will give you an idea of the scale. By 2030, China will have 530 million people in urban areas on the East Coast, and they're only halfway there now. So they essentially have to move the entire population of the United States from the central parts of the country to the cities and turn those people into middle-class consumers, which is why they're moving there to begin with. Now, how much concrete and glass and steel and copper and rubber and televisions and vacuum cleaners and, how much stuff, how much demand gets created by a middle class that in, 15 years is going to become as large as the U.S. population.
Yeah, answer a lot. Shelley, where do folks get a hold of Shelley Fishman?
795-7950 at Pyramid Federal Credit Union.
And you're always welcome. People are always welcome to stop by and say hello at Pyramid.
And, you know, people do that.
Yeah.
They come by and say, oh, I know you.
Yeah, you're the guy from the radio. Shelley Fishman, thank you so much. And have a great week, Shelley.
Have a great week yourself.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
President Obama is expected to urge higher taxes on the wealthy and propose ways to make college more affordable. In tonight's State of the Union speech, House Speaker John Boehner says he hopes the president will indicate that he's finally ready to work with Republicans to get the economy back on track. He's paid 100% of what he owes. A legal counsel to the Mitt Romney campaign says today's release of Romney's tax records make that clear. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says that if a bill legalizing same-sex marriage reaches his desk, he'd veto the bill. He says it's the kind of issue that should be voted on by state residents. Wall Street, the Dow is down about 42 points. The NASDAQ currently unchanged. The S&P trading 3 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:33. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, the voice, KVOI AM 1030. Well, this month we are excited to launch a new series here on the Buckmaster Show. The segment is about animal care, presented by Veterinary Specialty Center, located at North La Canada and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us in our first animal care segment is Dr. Anna Civic. Dr. Civic is an oncologist at the Veterinary Specialty Center. Dr. Civic, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I want to talk a little bit about dogs and a predisposition to cancer. Dr. Civic, is cancer first of all, what is cancer, and is cancer defined differently for humans than it is for animals?
So cancer is really just an uncontrolled growth of cells either on or within the body, which is the same in people as it is in pets. So one of your own body cells undergoes some sort of alteration or multiple alterations, mutations, and then begins to grow uncontrollably.
Well, there are, I understand, in humans anyway, several hundred different types of cancer. What about for our dog friends?
The same is true in dogs. There are many different types of cancers depending on where that uncontrolled cell came from, whether it's a bone cell or a skin cell, that sort of thing.
What are some of the most common cancers in dog breeds?
So we see a lot of, one of the most common skin tumor we see is called a mast cell tumor. We see that a lot in certain breeds of dogs. We see bone tumors in dogs as well as bladder tumors, tumors of the lymphatic system, lymph nodes, and different breeds are predisposed to different types of cancer.
Is there a particular breed that is predisposed to more of these cancers than others, Dr. Civic?
We definitely see boxers and Bostons and pugs, kind of the smush-faced breeds, as we like to call them, having the skin tumors, the mast cell tumors. Bone tumors tend to be large breed dogs. Bladder tumors we see in a lot of the smaller terriers. But, you know, all dogs can, any dog can develop a cancer.
How about pure breed dogs? Are they more predisposed to cancer?
Definitely some types. So like the mast cell tumor in the kind of the squish-faced dogs, bone tumors we see in large breed, you know, Goldens, Labradors, Rottweilers. So we definitely see more tumors in purebred dogs.
Dr. Civic, explain to us how cancer is detected in an animal, specifically in a dog.
So we can find, you know, just lumps or bumps on the surface of a dog when they're being petted at home. We can find masses sometimes on the inside. Dogs with, for example, a bone tumor sometimes will come in for limping. So depending kind of what their clinical signs are will kind of depend what tests we run to try and figure out the cause. But, you know, not every dog, just like every person, not everyone develops cancer, but we definitely see it at an increased rate as animals get older.
Now, a lump certainly is suspicious. It's suspicious whether it's a human or a dog or a cat. But a lump does not necessarily mean cancer. I suppose a lump in a dog could be a fatty cell. It could be some kind of some other kind of growth, correct?
Yep, absolutely. So that's part of why we sample the lumps and bumps to try and figure out. Sometimes we see things like infection causing a mass or a lump.
Let's get into a little bit about cancer treatment. And one of the wonderful things about where you work is that you really have the kind of specialists who can deal at the Veterinary Specialty Center with some of these perhaps more exotic cancers. How do you treat cancer in a dog?
So a lot of it, again, depends on the type of cancer, but treatments can include surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, immunotherapy. There's all different avenues depending on exactly what type of cancer we're dealing with.
And when you talk about chemo, do the animals have to, is it an extended program like you would have with humans?
Some of it depends on, again, the type of cancer we're dealing with. A lot of the treatments are similar to in people, what's available in people. The goals are a little bit different in that really our goals in animals is to improve their quality of life and not have any side effects because we can't really explain things to them the same way we would to a person. So the side effect rate is actually quite a bit lower than what people experience with chemotherapy, but we do use a lot of the same drugs.
Now, if someone does have a pet with cancer, what are some of the ways to make our companion animals feel a little better at home while they're going through, this very difficult time, let's put it that way?
Yeah, so that's a lot of what our treatment is aimed at. And so a lot of the times we'll use chemotherapy or surgery to help with comfort. Sometimes we'll add in, pain medications if it's something where we're worried about pain. But really the goal of treatment is to keep them feeling good as long as possible, because otherwise we're not really helping anybody.
We haven't talked about cats. Is there a difference in the cancer with the cats and the dogs?
We do see quite a bit of cancer in cats as they get older as well. By far the most common type in cats is called lymphoma, which is actually a cancer of one of the white blood cells in the body. So we still see a variety of tumors in cats, but we see a lot more of that one specific type.
How successful are the treatments to cure these cancers?
And that can be a little bit of a hard question to answer, because a lot of it depends on the type of the tumor. Our goal is really quality of life for as long as possible, and so cure rates are different depending on the types of tumors, but just like they are in people.
What should you do if you think your companion animal has cancer, Dr. Civic?
Generally, taking them into either your family vet or coming in to see us here at the specialty center so that we can figure out exactly what's going on be able to advise on treatments is the best chance to kind of buy them a longer life with a good quality time.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Why did you decide to go into veterinary medicine and specialty in oncology?
I think growing up, I really enjoyed being around pets, and I spent a lot of time working with shelters and helping with animals, and it really has been a way that I can help take care of other species. Being a specialist is really nice in that I do a lot of geriatric medicine, and so it's kind of nice to take care of those pets that have been with people for a long time and are really a part of their family.
What are some of the, touch again, if you would, on some of the things that we could be looking for with our pets to make sure they're healthy, whether they're dogs or cats, concerning cancer? Is it mainly looking for the lumps or the masses?
Definitely looking for lumps and bumps on the outside. Depending, again, on the type of tumor, we can see all different side effects from that. So dogs with, for example, a bone tumor, they can have a swelling over the bone. They can have limping, pain, stiffness. Dogs with a tumor, for example, in their bladder, we can see things like difficulty urinating and blood in their urine, pain in their abdomen, things like that. So a lot of it is kind of dependent on the type of cancer, but really, any animal that's not feeling well, it's an older pet, it's always one of the things that we worry about.
How about other signs like a lack of appetite with the animal, or maybe the animal is suddenly doesn't want to take that walk or get up and play and is sleeping excessively? That has to be a warning sign, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think any change in a pet's normal behavior, as animals age, they definitely will sleep a little bit more and be a little less frisky and that sort of thing. But any sort of change in their normal behavior, that's something that we would want to investigate.
The specialty center there, veterinary specialty center, really is serving a large area. I think you serve all of southern Arizona, don't you?
Yes, we see pets from all over. I actually have a patient come in this week from the East Coast while the parents are in town vacationing. So we've even seen patients come up from Mexico as well.
Dr. Anna Civic, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That is our opening series of the Animal Care segment here on the Buckmaster Show, presented by the Veterinary Specialty Center, located at North La Canada and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center, specialty vets for special pets.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Every other Tuesday here on the Buckmaster Show, it's time for Margaret Regan, and we're talking about the arts. Margaret is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and she is the Buckmaster Show Arts Contributor. And Margaret, it's good to see you. And as usual, as we get the new year cranked up here, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we have so many things in all domains of the arts.
Well, why don't we begin with one of your favorite subjects, dance. Okay. You have a piece coming up in the weekly Forever Tango, which is coming to Centennial Hall.
Yeah, coming to Centennial.
Or Tango.
Tango,
as it's said,
right.
In South America.
Yeah. Coming to Centennial Hall Friday night. It's this big traveling tango extravaganza. I have to rhyme my words. it should be really fun. I mean, these are people from Argentina. Luis Bravo, who's the choreographer and creator of this show, grew up in Argentina, as we all know. The tango originated in Buenos Aires. It's a really particular...
I think in the red light district, as the story goes.
The story goes, late 19th century, all these immigrant workers, you know, crammed into the slums of Buenos Aires, started developing this dance and music form, you know, drawing on European traditions. One of the most important instruments in tango was a German concertina, now called el bandoneón. And they drew on some African rhythms because there were descendants of slaves living in the same quarter. And it turned into this kind of working class competition, you know, with people dancing with each other, and it was quite scandalous in its day.
It's become a whole culture, though, around the tango.
Yeah, it's huge now. You know, there's a U of A professor who's just written a book called Global Tango, and she studied this phenomenon around the world. And, you know, people go to Buenos Aires now to train in tango. It's a huge tourist attraction in every way.
Coming up, that'll be January 27th. That is this Friday night at Centennial Hall for Luis Bravo's Forever Tango. It should be a lot of fun. And there is a Dancing with the Stars star involved.
Yes. Now, I myself don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I understand this woman. She's originally from Russia.
There's a huge following for
this person,
yes.
Anna Trebunskaya. And they sent her down to Buenos Aires to train in tango so that she would be up to the other dancers.
Coming up on the theater, hearing a lot of good things about 39 Steps, the ATC play.
Yeah, I went to it Sunday night. It was hilarious. It's an elaboration on Alfred Hitchcock's very serious movie, The 39 Steps, a thriller set in the early part of the century in England. And this production translates it really into sort of a vaudeville slapstick play, if you can imagine, with just four actors playing something like 150 different characters.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the things that ATC does very well, that kind of broad comedy with rapid costume changes and very funny props and weird changes in set. So highly recommended. It's just, you know, people were laughing all the way through. It's quite silly, but very clever.
39 Steps, ATC, that continues on, I think, through this weekend, right?
Something at least. I think probably two more weekends. Yeah.
Arizona On Stage production.
Yeah,
the Marvelous Wonderette.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one, but it sounds fun.
Sounds 50s, 50-ish.
Very 50-ish, 60-ish, kind of a girl group setting for girl singers from the 50s singing at their high school prom, and then in the act two is their high school reunion. Ten years later.
Leader of the pack has got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, leader of the pack. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of funny old pop tunes. So it's basically built around that music, so that's fun.
Margaret Regan is with us. She is from the Tucson Weekly. She's the arts editor, and she comes on the Buckmaster Show every other week to talk about on Tuesdays what's going on in the art calendar. Quite a bit going on with art. Let's begin with the Temple Gallery.
Yeah, quite interesting show there. Jeff Smith, a very well-known photographer around town who specializes in lightning. He's one of those daredevil lightning photographers who drive around in the summertime.
Oh, is he a storm chaser?
Yes, he is. Among many other talents, he's a storm chaser. But he goes out and you know, it's almost dangerous, really, you know, going driving into the lightning storms. So he's exhibited in the past beautiful full-scale photos of lightning in the monsoon skies of Tucson at Etherton Gallery. This time, his show at Temple Gallery is a little different because it's about the city and neon lights, and every photo is taken from inside his car. He calls the show Drivescape. So in the photographs,
hope he has a clean windshield.
Well, yes, he does, because it's raining when he takes these
pictures of the lightning. That's right. So he's getting the windshield wipers clean it every few seconds.
Yeah, they're moody, atmospheric, really interesting. He's got a great photo of the Triple T truck stop on I-10. And there's a sign there for the Pima Air and Space Museum, which brings me to my next topic.
Our friend Eric Firestone has really put together a very ambitious exhibit involving old planes and nearly two dozen nose cones from retired military planes from the boneyard.
Right. It's a fascinating story. Somehow Eric, who, you know, had several galleries in Tucson and
had a successful gallery downtown, one of the first folks to really kind of get in with the downtown scene, the art scene. Then he had a nice gallery up at River and Campbell. Then he headed back east to New York, East Hampton, New York. Now he's back for the show titled The Boneyard Project, Return Trip. And they're going to have a reception at the Pima Air and Space Museum from 6 to 11 this Saturday night. Should be fun.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that show, he debuted that show in his gallery now out in the Hamptons on Long Island.
He's got a lot of space.
And he got a huge write-up in the New York Times about it, which is quite an achievement for, you know, he was a new gallery out in the Hamptons. But it sounds really interesting. He took old airplane parts and invited contemporary artists to paint them. Apparently, back in the wars, like World War II, when people had these fondness for their planes, it was a common thing for flyers and pilots to paint their nose cones. So it's sort of a contemporary art update on that interesting old tradition.
The Pima Air and Space Museum, that exhibit that Eric Firestone has put together, will be running through actually until May. But the reception, again, is from 6 to 11 o'clock. There's a small admission for the opening night reception this Saturday night. Our friends at Tucson Museum of Art have a couple of big shows opening up.
Yeah, we've talked about these before, but they're finally opening Friday night, one of those members-only receptions, but other people can come, I think, if they can pay. Mm-hmm. The first show is the big Frida Kahlo show, Through the Lens of Nicholas Mary, and that's photographs of Frida Kahlo by a friend of hers down in Mexico in the 30s and 40s, and he sets her in settings that are very reminiscent of her own paintings, so they should be quite interesting to see. And then the companion show is a big folk art show, Tesoros del Pueblo, Treasures of the People, Latin American art from their own collection. And
their own collection is excellent of Latin American art, so
absolutely,
they'll be drawing upon this, I'm sure, for Latin American folk art. So
right,
it's really two really nice pieces, two shows that really complement each other.
Yeah, absolutely, because as you know, Frida Kahlo used a lot of Mexican folk art motifs in her paintings, so it'll be interesting to look at images about her and of her, ornamented with some of these objects, and then going to see the objects in the flesh, as it were.
Again, that's the Tucson Museum of Art, downtown Tucson, members opening Friday night. That's at 6 o'clock in the evening, followed by Art After Dark. That one will be open to the public at 8 p.m. So there's a lot of art going on downtown. Again, our friends at Philibom, the famous glass working artists, have something coming up.
Yeah, now that'll be a week from now, February 4th.
But I strongly suggest people put it on your calendar because they're celebrating their 50th anniversary of making glass art.
Well, not they themselves, but, you know.
Yeah, that did seem a little strange.
Yeah,
They haven't been around that long. They've been around, I guess, 30 years.
Right, Their show is called 50, 40, 30.
Okay.
Okay, so Philibom Glass Art Gallery in Tucson for 30 years.
Right.
Making really a significant contribution, not only to the city, but to the art form. 40 years that most of the people in the show have been making glass art. And really 50 years since the birth of what Philibom calls the glass art movement. It's a contemporary post-war phenomenon. A few artists up in the Midwest at some art departments and colleges kind of developed this whole new thing of contemporary art glass. So Tom Philibom, who's done so much really to further the art form, is staging this big exhibition. And what's going to be really fun on the opening on February 4th, one of the esteemed elder statesmen of the glass art movement, Fritz Dreisbach, is going to be giving a lecture that afternoon at the Tucson Museum of Art, followed by a demo in the Philibom Glass Studios in which he and a team of artists are going to create a life-size van out of glass.
You're kidding.
So you can go there and see a glass van created from scratch.
Stick an engine in it and let's head off to Highway 1 and then let's cruise the California coast.
Yeah, I'm not sure they have that in mind.
Hand-blown vintage 60s camper truck. That is too cool. So that's going to be coming up again February the 4th. That will be from 6 to 9 o'clock at the Philibom Glass Gallery. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of stuff going on downtown with the TMA out at the Pima Air and Space Museum, Eric Firestone's. I got to see these painted nose cones.
Right. Yeah. Who knew, right?
Yeah, that's right. Margaret Regan, thank you very much. And we will look for your piece in the Tucson Weekly, which will be available everywhere Thursday and some places Wednesday, right?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About Forever Tango. Right. Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill.
Margaret Regan with us comes on the Buckmaster Show. We appreciate it every other Tuesday talking about the arts calendar. Lots going on with the arts as we launch into 2012 here. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. If you need a CPA, and a lot of people do this time of year, tax time is here. 2919 East Broadway and on the web at Flowers Rieger. That's RIEGER.com. We strongly recommend Michael C. Flowers. He is our CPA. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. Thank you very much for being with us. We are here live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030. Have yourself a great afternoon. We'll be back here live 12:04 tomorrow on KVOI.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.